As was brought up this morning in my lesson and what was brought up just a second ago before the Lord's Supper, we weren't there on the day of Pentecost. We weren't there during Passover. Peter was still preaching to us, though, and we still were among the crowd that yelled, "Crucify, crucify him." We're among the crowd that watched as Christ was beaten. We're among those who mocked him. We're among those who spat upon him. We're among those who turned away from him as he was led to Calvary to be crucified. And we're among those because we are among those who have sinned. Because we have sinned, he had to go through those things. Though he was sinless and he didn't deserve that death, because of us, he took upon that death. He took upon that price that we might have salvation through his blood that was shed. By overcoming death, we too might overcome death through his salvation that he offers. But when we take upon that salvation, we aren't just accepting a gift. We're accepting a work. See, Christians have duties. Now, it's not just the preachers who have duties, it's not just the elders, the deacons who have duties, but it is Christians as a whole. Because we have sinned, we need salvation. And Christ offers that salvation. But to accept that salvation, we have to follow His plan of salvation, and then we have to live a faithful life, and we have to accept the work of Christians. Many times I believe that this is overlooked. Many times I believe that preachers just preach about salvation. But we don't preach enough about the works that Christians have. One of the works that I believe is in need to be addressed, especially today, is that of evangelism. See, Christians have duties, and one of those duties is evangelism. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, Christ tells His apostles and He tells His disciples, "Go into all the world and preach. Preach about Me. Preach about the Gospel. Preach about God." The reason he tells them that and he tells us that is because this world needs God. This world needs Jesus. This world needs His salvation. And if we're not proclaiming that word to them, if we're not proclaiming Jesus' salvation to them, who will? See, the answer to that is one of two answers. The first one is no one's going to proclaim the word of God to it if it's not us. And the second one is that a false teacher can proclaim a false word of God to them. See, if we're not out there doing the work of our Lord, doing the work of our Christians, then no one else is going to. No one else is going to teach them the salvation, the true salvation that Christ offers, if we're not out there working. And like I said before, all Christians have duties, and all Christians have the duty of an evangelist. Elders have the duty of an evangelist. Preachers most certainly do have the job of an evangelist. Deacons have the job of an evangelist. But so do every member of this congregation, and so does every member of any other congregation of the churches of Christ, the churches of our Lord. They have the duties of evangelizing. You see, as a student at Southwest, when I graduate, I will have the duties of evangelism. As a student now, I currently have the duties of evangelism, and even before I became a student of Southwest, I still had the duties of an evangelist. Once I accepted Christ on through baptism, I accepted His work. I accepted to be an evangelist. But to be an evangelist, we need to know the Word of God. To be an evangelist, we need to understand what the Word of God is. Of course, when we accept Christ on through baptism, when we accept His salvation, we understand the plan of salvation. And let me tell you right now that that is enough to teach someone. Once you understand the plan of salvation, once you accept His salvation, you understand it. Therefore, you are saved through it. And because you have been saved through it and you understand it, you now can teach someone else that salvation. Of course, as Christians, we need to be diligent in our study of God's Word. We need to continue on looking in through the Bible, understanding it and studying it every day. Go into God in prayer every day. Last week we looked at how it can help us fight temptation, and it most certainly can, but it can also prepare us to face this world, to teach this world about the Bible, to teach this world about Christ. When we are equipped with our sword, we are equipped to go out into this world. Like I said, everyone has this duty. Elders, deacons, There are even preachers out there who their title are evangelists. They have that duty, but every member has that duty. We have duties like Paul had duties. We had duties like Peter had duties. We look at those and we see in Acts chapter 2 how Peter proclaimed the word of God. He evangelized to all of those Jews who were in Jerusalem. We look at Paul and his missionary journeys and we see such great work as a missionary, such great work as an evangelist. We look at examples like Timothy who followed Paul, who sat at the feet of Paul and he too was an evangelist. And we see those and we see the examples that we must follow as evangelists. And that brings us to our text this morning. If you have your Bibles, I ask that you would turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. This is Paul addressing Timothy, who we read is like a son to Paul. But he's not just addressing Timothy. He is addressing every single one of us because Timothy has these duties that Paul is laying before him. But we too have these duties, and Paul is also laying them before us too. We read in verse 16, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Verse 17, "that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work." You see, Christians are equipped by the Scriptures. When Jesus Christ told us to go out into all of the world proclaiming the Word to every creature, He wasn't giving us that instruction without giving us the proper equipment to go out into the world. Jesus Christ knew that we were receiving the Word of God. See, the apostles had divine inspiration. We have divine inspiration through the Bible. Through the Bible, we have God's Word. Through the Bible, we look at all that is given to us by Paul, by Peter, by James, by all of the apostles who wrote, and all of the examples that are given. We see the wonderful equipment that we have, the armor of God that we are given, the sword that we're given. See, as Christians, we're equipped by Scripture. And verse 15 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." That means all Scripture is important. Every single word in the Bible is important. Every single word is important because it comes from God. Though the apostles wrote many of the Scriptures, though disciples wrote many of the Scriptures, it all came from God through divine inspiration. And through divine inspiration, we are given the Word of God. Because it all comes from God. And because it comes from God, verse 16, it says, it is profitable. Of course, we look at everything that God has ever given us, and we see how profitable it is. He gave us the law of Moses, and for that time, it was profitable for them. He gave us Christ, His Son, and we most certainly see how He is profitable for us. He gives us the Word, and because He has given us the Word, and the Word comes from God, it is most certainly profitable for us. But then we continue reading on why it is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We look at all of those things, and we see that it's profitable for doctrine. That means it's profitable for teaching ourselves and for teaching others. Because without the Word of God, how are we to teach someone the Word of God? Without the Word of God, how are we to teach ourselves about the Word of God? Many people today follow traditions, the traditions of their parents, the tradition of their grandparents, their great-grandparents. But we need to follow the traditions of the Bible. What the Bible says is what we should follow, not the traditions of man. And without the Word of God, how can we teach ourselves what the Bible truly says? We look at examples in the Old Testament, such as the examples of the Pharisees as we follow them into the New Testament. And we see that they believed the law of Moses most certainly. They followed the law of most certainly as they were taught, because they also had the oral law, and they believed the oral law and the traditions that their fathers before them had told them. And because they believed those laws, though they thought they believed the Mosaic law, they had stepped away from the Mosaic law because they believed the law of their fathers more. And because they believed those laws, we see multiple times through the New Testament that Jesus Christ is rebuking them. that Jesus Christ is telling them that they are wrong because they aren't following the law of Moses anymore. We don't need to follow that example. We need to follow the example that the Bible gives us. Because if we follow the examples and the teachings of our fathers, of our great-grandfathers, what they teach us could be wrong. And though we don't want to think about how our fathers or great-grandfathers or our ancestors could have been wrong, but if they were, we need to make sure through the Bible. Because if we don't, then we could be no more than the Pharisees were and following that law. See, it's profitable for teaching. It's profitable for reproof, for correcting others and for correcting ourselves. It's also profitable for instructions in righteousness. To be righteous, we must follow the instructions that are given. To be righteous as Jesus was righteous, to be Christians, to be Christ-like, we must follow the righteous things that are in this Bible, that are in the Word of God, through that are given by God. That's how we become righteous. And we notice when we follow all of these steps, we notice verse 17, and it says that the man of God may be complete. See, with the Word of God, we are complete. When we accept His salvation and we study the Word of God, we are complete. When we follow this Word, when we reprove ourselves, when we teach ourselves, when we correct ourselves, and we live righteously because we read this Word, we are complete. And when we are complete, we are thoroughly equipped for every good work. That means we are equipped for a benevolent work. We are equipped to preach. We are equipped to teach, to lead songs, and again, to evangelize. Some people stop there, though, and I believe that this is a bad spot to break up chapters, because I believe verse 1 of chapter 4 continues in this same thought. It says in verse 1, I charge you therefore before God to judge the before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead as His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. You see, because Christians are equipped by the Scripture, Christians are also charged by the Scripture. Paul is charging Timothy here, and Paul is charging us as well. He charges us before God and Jesus Christ. And notice it says, Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. When He comes back, He will judge us. Whether He comes back today, whether He comes back tomorrow, whether I am dead tomorrow and He comes back, or whether I'm alive tomorrow when He comes back, He will judge me. And He will judge all of those who live. And we're being charged before Him to preach the Word. That doesn't mean sit behind a pulpit and preach the Word. That doesn't mean sit behind a podium and preach the Word. It means to preach the Word to all of those who you come across. One of the things I love about this congregation is the sign y'all have right there at the door. Beyond these doors lies the mission field. See, outside those doors is a wonderful mission field. It's a mission field that we should be willing and able to preach the Word. To be willing and able to preach the Word to anyone who has yet to hear the Word or misunderstands the Word, but also to preach the Word here. Because not only are we supposed to evangelize outside of those doors, we are supposed to evangelize inside of these doors as well. For visitors who come in, we are supposed to evangelize the Word. For people who have yet to accept God's salvation, we are supposed to preach the Word to them. And we are charged to preach the Word. And we continue reading, and it says, to preach the Word, be ready in season and out of season. What that means is we should be able to preach the Word when we are ready to preach the Word. We should be able to preach the Word when we're on fire to preach the Word. After my baptism, I was on fire with the Word of God. I studied every day. I was in the Word of God the majority of my day. And I was wanting to teach everyone I came across. But then as I continued, I started to lose that fire a little bit. And a little bit at a time, I continued to lose that fire. And it's when I lost that fire that many people started to come up to me and ask about the Word of God. You see, I was ready when I was in season. But out of season, I wasn't as ready. And we are charged to be ready in season and out of season. To be ready when you are on fire with the Word of God, and to be ready when you're not on fire with the Word of God. To be ready when you are sitting there with your Bible, knocking on someone's door, about to have a Bible study with them. Or be ready when you run across someone in the store who asks you about the Word of God. You be ready when you're expecting it, and be ready when you're not expecting to preach the Word of God. It continues on and it says, to convince, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. That is to be ready in season, to be ready out of season, so that you can reprove, so that you can convince those that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That you can rebuke those who are following false teachers, to show them why it's wrong. Because, brothers, if you tell them that what they teach is wrong, they're going to want evidence of why it's wrong. And we have to be willing to talk through it, as Paul talked through in Acts 17. We have to be willing to teach them, to convince them, and to rebuke them, but also to exhort them, to urge them to turn from their wrongs, to turn them from their wrongdoings. And we have to do it in a loving way. We have to help them turn from their wrongs, but notice what it says at the end of that verse, with complete patience. With all long-suffering and teaching. Brothers, I cannot emphasize this enough. We have to do it with patience. We have to do it in a loving way, because if we're not doing it in a loving way, no one will listen to us. I have seen preachers who have stood behind a pulpit and have preached sermons on hell to try to convince them. I have seen them to preach fire and brimstone sermons, as they're mostly called. But that's not the only sermons that we should be preaching. Though those are sermons that can be effective for everyone, they're not always going to be effective. We have to teach with patience and do it in a loving way, because if we don't do it in a loving way, people are just going to turn their backs on us. People aren't going to be willing to listen to us. You see, we look at examples that Jesus Christ gave, and there were times where He was strict with them. With the Pharisees, oftentimes we see that He rebuked them sternly, and that He was stern in what He said to them. But the reason He did that is because they should have known the law, and they claimed to know the law. But we look at how He was with Gentiles and those who didn't know the law as well, and He was gentle with them. He was loving with them, because He understood that He needed to evangelize to them, but He needed to do it in a loving way. And not only with a loving way, but with a patient way. When we teach the Word of God to people, when we teach the plan of salvation, when we teach anything to any individual, we have to be willing to be patient. Because if we're not patient, then we're going to be hurt when someone doesn't listen to us on day one. We're going to be hurt when they don't listen to us on day two. But there have been times where people have preached the Word, and 5 years later, that individual who they preached the Word to has been saved. Because they didn't give up. If they would have given up after day one, or if they would have given up after day two, that individual might have never been saved. But if you're patient with them, and you work with them day in and day out, they might be saved. Myself, if the individuals who taught me the Bible were not patient with me, I was stern, I was stubborn. The saying, stubborn as a mule, specifically applied to me. I didn't want to hear the Word of God, but because they were patient, I stand before you today. Because they were patient and they were loving, I accepted Christ's salvation. I understood the Scripture. But it takes patience sometimes. It takes your time and it takes your love to teach them, to reprove them, and to correct them. We'll continue on, and we see that Christians are equipped by the Scriptures. We see that Christians are given reason by the Scriptures in the continuing verses. Verse 3, it says, for, which is a transition word, and as a transition we see that it is for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth. And they will be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure affliction and do the work of an evangelist, fulfilling your ministry. You see, we are equipped by the Scriptures. We are charged by the Scriptures, and we are given reason by the Scriptures. Paul here, he tells Timothy that you're equipped by the Scriptures. You can reprove yourself. You can help yourself and build yourself up. And because you can do that for yourself, you should do that for others as well. But it doesn't stop there. Though it could have stopped there, and though we could have just been charged, and most certainly we would follow those charges, we're given reason why we should follow those charges. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Brothers, I can tell you today that that time that Paul was speaking of to Timothy, that time is today. That time was only a few years after Paul wrote those letters to Timothy. We stand here today and we are under that time where there are individuals who don't hear sound doctrine. There are individuals who, because they have itching ears and they have their own desires, appoint preachers and teachers who fit those own desires. There are individuals who might understand the Word of God and might understand what they are supposed to be doing, but because they don't want to do what the Word of God says, they will appoint someone who tells them that they don't have to do that. They will appoint someone to tell them that this is what the Bible says, but honestly, this is what it means. You don't actually have to do this. You can do this and still live according to God's Word. But that is wrong. And that is false doctrine. That is false prophecy. That is false teachers. And Christ warned about that through His ministry. And Paul warns about it here. Why should you evangelize? Because if you don't, others will teach them false truths. And there are individuals out there who are thoroughly seeking the Word of God. They go to different congregations every day. Every Sunday they are at either a Baptist congregation. Then the next Sunday they might go to a Methodist congregation or to a Catholic congregation, just seeking the Word of God and seeking the truth. But if they come here, are they going to hear that truth? If they come here, are they going to be greeted as guests? Honored guests and encouraged to come back? Are they going to hear the Word of God preached from the Bible? Because if we're not preaching from the Bible, then they're not going to be hearing the Bible. And we have to be able to correct them when they come in and they will have false beliefs. Again, when I came into the Church of Christ, I believed false truths. I came from a Baptist background. But I was taught the truth, and I was taught through love. You see, we have to be willing to teach all that come through those doors. And we have to be willing to teach all those who are outside of those doors who don't come in. We have to be willing to invite them to services. We have to be willing to sit down and have a Bible study with them. We have to be willing to do the work of an evangelist. Because the time is coming, and the time is now, when they will seek the Word of God, and they will find false teachers. They will find false preachers, but when we teach them the Word of God, they can find the truth. But we notice in verse 5 it says, "But you be watchful in all things, endure affliction, and do the work of an evangelist." But we notice the last words, it says, "Fulfill your ministry." Our ministry is that of an evangelist. Timothy here specifically was a preacher. He specifically was an evangelist. But every Christian is an evangelist. Every Christian is a preacher. Though we might not sit behind a pulpit every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and preach the Word of God from a pulpit, we preach the Word of God to our co-workers, to our children, to those we come encounter with at the store. We evangelize to them. One of the ways we evangelize is through showing them the Word of God. But we shouldn't just be willing to show them the Word of God. We should be willing to show them the Word of God through how we live. If we are not living according to the Word of God, no one is going to want to hear us. If we are not living according to what we are teaching, they're not going to want to follow what the truth is. So not only do we have to teach from the Word of God, we have to live from the Word of God. Again, the Scriptures, they equip Christians. The Scriptures, they charge Christians. The Scriptures, they give reasons to Christians. We have reason to go out there and evangelize. We are equipped so that we can go out there and evangelize. And we are told that we should go out there and evangelize. Jesus Christ himself said that we should evangelize. Paul again here says that we should evangelize, and we see many examples through the New Testament of those who evangelized. Sometimes it feels uncomfortable for us to fulfill those duties. Sometimes we see someone who is so willing to sit down and have a Bible study, and we think, how can they be so willing to do that? It just makes me uncomfortable. Sometimes we feel uncomfortable when we go on door-knocking campaigns. Sometimes we feel uncomfortable to sit down with someone and have a Bible study. But brethren, we shouldn't be uncomfortable. As we looked at in Acts chapter 2, those Jews who heard that they had crucified their Lord and Savior, they were pricked to the heart. When we hear the Word of God, when we accept His salvation, we are pricked to the heart. And because we are pricked to the heart, we should be willing and have the desire to study with those individuals, to study with any individual that has need, whether it's a Christian who has fallen away, whether it's someone who comes from a false background, a Baptist background, a Methodist background, a Catholic background, we should be willing to study with them. If they come from an atheist background, we should be willing to study with them. No matter what background they come from, we should be willing to study with them, because we look at how Jesus Christ was. He went to the Gentiles. He went to the Jews. And He was willing to study with all of them. Though it might make us feel uncomfortable, we should be willing to do it. Because if we don't do it, then someone else will. And that someone is not a promised Christian. That someone could be a false teacher. Ultimately, we must think of Christ's words in chapter 7 of Matthew. He says that there's going to be a day that people will come to Him and they will say, Christ, did we not prophesy in Your name? Did we not teach in Your name, cast out demons in Your name? And He will say, depart from Me, I never knew you. How heartbreaking is that going to be on the day of judgment? How heartbreaking more will it be that we look at that individual and we say, I had the opportunity to teach them the Word of God. I had the opportunity to sit down and have a Bible study, but I didn't because it was uncomfortable for me. And because I didn't, they followed a false teacher. And because they followed a false teacher, Christ is now telling them, depart from Me, I never knew you. How heartbreaking will that be? But how much joy will it bring when Christ tells that individual who we've had Bible studies with, who have accepted the Word of God, how joyful it will make our hearts when Christ says, enter, My good and faithful servant. When I think about that, I think of how important the work of an evangelist is. The importance of the work for every Christian to go out and evangelize. Because the day of judgment is coming, and it might be later today, it might be tomorrow, it might be 20 years from now, 100 years from now. But I promise you, because Christ promised us that that day is coming. We don't know when it is. It could be tomorrow. And if it is, are we okay with how we leave things? Have we evangelized enough that we feel comfortable? Or have we never even talked about the gospel to anybody? I see those are things we have to consider while we still have time to consider. Like I said, the day of judgment is coming. And we sit here today and we are either ready or we're not ready. If you have yet to follow God's plan of salvation, why not today? You can be here today and you can confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. You can repent of your sins and change your life. And you can be baptized. Once more, the day of judgment is not given a date. This world has an expiration date, but we don't know when that expiration date is. It could be tomorrow. It could be later on. It could be in this generation or it can be in the next generation, but we don't know. But if it is tomorrow, are you ready? If it is later today, are you ready? The invitation lies open, but it's not my invitation to give. It's God's invitation. When He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to overcome death, He opened that invitation. That invitation remains open today, but tomorrow it could very well close. It doesn't have to be at this very moment that you come forward. If you are uncomfortable with that, I ask that you come forward today. But if you're uncomfortable with that, seek a member here. Seek an elder. Seek the preacher. And go to them. Make your request known. If you're a member here, if you are a member of the Churches of Christ, but you aren't doing your duties, if you have fallen away, if you have fallen away into temptation, or if you just need the prayers of this congregation, we ask that you come forward as we stand and as we sing.